where you should be living, like what state you should be living in or what city you should be living in that fits you best according to your answers, what personality type you are, what kind of pet you should have, what kind of career you should be in, what movie star you look the most like or act the most like. And it can even get more ridiculous if you keep looking. I found out yesterday, though, at our officer training retreat at Westminster Woods from one of our new officers that you can take a test that will tell you which cartoon character you are the most like. And actually, for her and me, we were both Bugs Bunny. So last week I took one of these tests that was called the 25 question test that will determine which type of introvert you are. Yes, I am an introvert. It's hard to believe, isn't it? But the majority of pastors are introverts when they've done surveys. We have to push ourselves to be social. So if you think that sometimes maybe I'm not being friendly enough, it might be just that I have low energy that day. Don't take it personally. But I can go deep inside my head and not come out for a long time sometimes. And that is a characteristic of being an introvert. You kind of have to drag yourself out of your head to be social or even to leave your home. But once you do, you enjoy people and you enjoy socializing. It's just, it takes more energy to get into it. And then you're glad to get back just inside your head afterwards too. But back to the test. The results of this type of introvert test were put into four categories. So you were either a protector, a mastermind, an architect, or a healer. So I wonder if you might guess what my test results showed for me. You're right. It said, you're the healer. It says, healers are true idealists, always looking for the hint of good in even the worst of people and events, searching for ways to make things better. While they may be perceived as calm, reserved, or even shy, healers have an inner flame that can be harnessed for magic. The healer introvert type is a shaman to his or her tribe. You carry within you the ability to understand the problems and connect to the root cause on a deep level. You're naturally spiritual and find it easy to access the spirit world. You have incredible potential to do good. The world needs you, it says. And so I think each of these category results probably describes the person very positively, so that they'll want to take more tests, you know, and stay on the web page longer. So I imagine if I came out with architect or one of the others, it would have been very positive too. But it is true, we all have special gifts and talents given to us by God. But we can't all be healers or wise shepherds or have a gift for languages. So God makes us a community where we appreciate each other's gifts and work together with them to make a meaningful impact on the world as a group, not alone. I love that hymn, and you all probably know it too, "Blessed Be the Tie That Binds Our Hearts with Christian Love." It says, "The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above." This hymn is emphasizing how together our minds become more like the mind of God. I think that's why Presbyterians love committees. We get closer to the mind of God than we go to committee meetings. And then the hymn lyrics go on, "We share our mutual woes, our mutual burdens bear, and often for each other flows the sympathizing tear." When you think of it, you might go to other club meetings, other gatherings of people, but at church, this should be the place where you can cry, where you can reveal your sorrows and share your sorrows with others, and where you will get the mutual empathy and sympathy that you need in your life. We're all made for community and made to share our sorrows and our joys and our spiritual gifts with one another to strengthen each other's faith and to support each other through our mutual journey through life on earth. each of us are given gifts that are manifestations of the Spirit. But how do we identify them in us? And then, what do we do with them after we identify them? Now, gifts that are manifestations of the Spirit, according to this passage, are gifts that have to do with wisdom, healing, faith, knowledge, prophecy, discernment, and speaking and understanding other languages. Now, if you could choose one of these spiritual gifts for you, if you could choose which one you had, which one would you want to have if you could only have one? Think about it. It's hard to choose, isn't it? Well, all of these gifts are very meaningful in their own way, aren't they? And you may have friends that seem to have many of these gifts of the Spirit, but I don't think it's possible to even have one in the way that they're talking about in this passage without faith, without hope, without love for God and love from God, inspiring the use of these spiritual gifts. The gifts of the Spirit are all to be manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And without an awareness and a sense of the presence of the Holy Spirit, these gifts really are meaningless. But if the foundation to these gifts is based on the Holy Spirit, they are powerful gifts to have. But it takes that awareness of the Holy Spirit to activate them, the scripture says. And daily prayer really does increase your awareness of what gift you have been given and then how to use it. Spiritual gifts are so important to the future of the church. And the Methodist Church has really come along to see that. And on their main page on their church website, they have a spiritual gifts assessment on their national church website. And the website link we have here, and this is what it looks like when you go to it. They say the spiritual gifts assessment helps individuals identify their God-given gifts for living faithfully as Christian disciples day by day, and to find meaningful ways to use their gifts in connection with others through the community of faith. And the process helps people understand the nature of spiritual gifts and ways to enhance the effectiveness of their gifts by linking together with others. Like, blessed be the tie that binds. You know, just having a spiritual gift all to yourself and not sharing it with others doesn't mean so much. But the site does have a caveat or a warning. It says, please be aware that this online assessment is designed to introduce you to the gifts of the Spirit, to more deeply understand your spiritual giftedness. But they recommend that you explore your gifts in a group setting, such in a local church. So I like taking tests, and so of course I took this assessment just to see what it had to say. And it said my first three gifts, it lists about 10, you know, for you in hierarchy of which you have the most of. And it said my first three were shepherding, leadership, and prophecy. I thought prophecy was really interesting, especially. So I looked up, how did they define prophecy? And they said, the gift of prophecy is the ability to speak God's word to others, or more appropriately, to be open for God to speak God's words through us. Prophets do not predict the future, but they offer insight and perspective on current conditions and how things might turn out if changes aren't made. Prophets are incisive, clear, and often controversial communicators. Prophets see things that others often don't, and they have the courage to tell it like it ought to be. So watch out, that even empowered me more. I've never been called a prophet before, though, but I guess according to this definition, the spiritual gift of prophecy does fit in this role. So I hope you all will go to this site if you get a chance to and see what your spiritual gifts are according to this test. It takes only 5 minutes to take it, and it's really a fun discussion starter with other people. If you need help, you can come to our front office, and we can help you during the week because we have a computer up there now, and we can help you go through it and find it if you're unable to at home. One of the true stories that the site tells about churches and spiritual gifts is a story about a wealthy man who enjoyed living very simply. He would drive a very old car around this town that he lived in. His name was Carl, and they said he had the gift of shepherding. Every week, Carl would bring someone new to the church. But after a while, there became what some of the people in the congregation thought was a problem. The congregation started to worry about the type of people Carl was bringing. Some of the congregation believed Carl's friends didn't quite fit in with the church's standards. So it all came to a head when Carl led a group of guys in who had matching orange one-piece jumpsuits and leg irons on their ankles. A sheriff with a rifle actually followed the bunch into church, and they all sat down in the front rows. How would you feel if that happened here? It'd be kind of exciting, wouldn't it? You know, if I had a chance to do that, I probably would. But sadly, in Carl's Methodist church, people became angry at Carl about bringing prisoners in, and he never came back after the bad reaction to his shepherding of the sheep, who he thought most needed Jesus. But then after that reaction, he realized the ones criticizing him were the ones who most needed Jesus. Later, the story says the Methodist pastor felt regret for not supporting Carl and for not teaching the congregation that he was fishing for men just like Jesus was. Now, yesterday we had a retreat and an officer training out at Westminster Woods, and it was for the new and the veteran officers of the church that you elected at the congregational meeting last November. We really had a great time together, even though it rained all day. And we envisioned where the church can grow and maybe should grow into the future with some brainstorming and envisioning and a lot of watching leadership videos, too. When a congregation is willing to take time to identify and then use their spiritual gifts for the benefit of the church, it becomes more vital and it grows. And this new bunch of officers that I know you'll be excited about, because you can see they all are so gifted and so willing to share those gifts with our church. But church leadership research does identify five reasons that churches fail. Number one, conflict, often caused by gossip and breaches in confidentiality. Number two, hypocritical and judgmental attitudes towards outsiders that may come in to visit. Three, a lack of welcoming hospitality and creating easy ways for people to feel connected and to get involved with the church. Four, not dealing with conflicts in the church that cause dissension between people. And five, not preaching and teaching the Bible. But I would add, too, another reason I think why churches fail is because the church members are not encouraged to see that they all have spiritual gifts, and then they're able to use those gifts to benefit the church and themselves and one another. The blessings are always mutual. The Apostle Paul taught us to be grateful for the gifts that God has given to the church, even with our frailties. No church is perfect. But this church is rich in blessings, not just because of the accomplishments of all the people here and in the past, but because of the grace of God that has enriched and sustained this church family. You have been sanctified and called to build up the church, as each of us has a role in building up the kingdom of God. Despite any flaws we may have, we were blessed with the task by God to enrich the church with spiritual gifts that we have been given. So Paul in Romans reminds us to let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and extend hospitality to strangers. Despite our fallibilities and our strengths, God's grace is with us. So may we ponder these things in our hearts and do all we can, using our spiritual gifts, to transform this Church of the Roses into the church God hopes we will be, especially this year in 2016. And now I'd like to call forward to come up to the front of the steps all of our new church officers and Chris Rhodes. And these church officers who now come forward are willing to help lead us at this time in the history of our church. And I know God is grateful for their faithful devotion and generous spiritual gift giving.
Representing the one holy, Catholic, and Apostolic Church Universal, the session of the Church of the Roses now ordains Chris Nelly and Alice Crouch to the office of elder and installs them to the active service on session. And now we ordain Yvonne Draper to active service as deacons.
So these are the three that have not been ordained previously.
The Church of the Roses also installs to active service those who have been previously ordained: Ellen Marks, Karen Bowles, Vivian Zeski, Barbara Glenn, and Nancy Taylor to be deacons. And then we are installing Jim Taylor, Deborah Baker, David Nelson, and Diane Osten to be elders.
That might be confusing, but the elders and the deacons answer different questions when we get to that part, so that's why the ordination, if you've been ordained as one, you still have to be ordained differently as the other. But in this church, it's all equal. There is no hierarchical. You know, the pastor isn't at the top, and then elders, and then deacons. We are all equal in the sight of God. And that's one of the things about the Presbyterian Church I love, is the equality in the church government. So now these are questions for ordination and installation. So if they do sound similar to your ordination questions too, please go ahead and answer them again. Do you trust in Jesus Christ, your Savior? Acknowledge Him, Lord of all, and Head of the Church. And through Him, believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If so, please say, I do. Do you accept the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be, by the Holy Spirit, the unique and authoritative witness to Jesus Christ in the Church Universal and God's Word? If so, please say, I do. Do you sincerely receive and adopt the essential tenets of the Reformed faith as expressed in the confessions of our church as authentic and reliable expositions of what Scripture leads us to believe and do? And will you be instructed and led by those confessions as you lead the people of God? Will you fulfill your ministry in obedience to Jesus Christ under the authority of Scripture and be continually guided by our confessions? We Will you be governed by our church polity, and will you abide by its discipline? Will you be a friend among your colleagues in ministry, working with them, subject to the ordering of God's word and spirit? If so, please say, I will. Will you, in your own life, seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, love your neighbors, and work for the reconciliation of the world? If so, please say, I will. And do you promise to further the peace, unity, and purity of the church? And will you pray for and seek to serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love? If so, please say, I will. And now for the elders, for those who are going to be ruling elders. Will you be a faithful ruling elder, watching over the people and providing for their worship, nurture, and service? Will you share in government and discipline, serving in councils of the church? And in your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ? If so, please say, I will. And for deacons, will you be a faithful deacon, teaching charity, urging concern, and directing help to the friendless and those in need? And in your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ? If so, please say, I will.
And now, the question for the congregation. Do we, the members of this church, accept these servants of the church as deacons and elders, chosen by God through the voice of this congregation, to lead us in the way of Jesus Christ? If so, say we do.
We do.
And do we agree to encourage them, to respect their decisions, and to follow as they guide us, serving Jesus Christ, who alone is head of the church? If so, say we do.
We do.
I'd like to invite any active or past elders to please come forward for a laying on of hands ceremony for these three who are being ordained as we have a prayer. All the people who have shared their gifts in the past. Thank you so much. Let us pray. Gracious God, with joy we give you all thanks and praise. Throughout the ages, you have been faithful to your covenant people in every time and place. You have chosen servants from among your people to point the way to Jesus Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve, to give his life, to set others free. In the church, deacons, elders, and pastors serve together so that your whole people might be equipped for ministry. For your servants in every age, O God, and for the church, we give you thanks and praise. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon these, your deacons and elders. Give them openness to the Holy Spirit's leading, that they may see and serve wherever there is need. Give them wisdom and courage, and nourish them in the life of the Spirit, that they may exercise their ministry with humility and compassion. Give them joy in their walk of faith, and a sure sense of your abiding presence. Make us all strong in Christ to live as our people and show forth your saving love in the world by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, welcome. You are now ruling elders and deacons in the Church of Jesus Christ and for this congregation. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father Almighty.